If you'll turn with me again to John's Gospel, chapter 3, and to that portion that we read just a little bit earlier. Let's just bow in a moment's prayer before we come to the message that the Lord has laid on our heart this morning. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do thank thee for thy precious truth that we hold in our hands. We ask that thou would bless the reading of it to our heart, and might we each and every one know the truth of that which we consider today. We ask that thy Holy Spirit might have that free course in our gathering, bringing the words of life to each and every heart, moving from seat to seat, from heart to heart, bringing the words of life through the Lord Jesus Christ. Do bless us as we consider this portion this morning, and as we consider it, may our hearts be made receptive to thee, and might we know that infilling of thy Holy Spirit bring life and liberty in Christ. May we each and every one have that wonderful assurance of knowing that our sins are forgiven, that we have peace with God, and that it has come to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. To bless us we pray, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The verse 19 of John chapter 3 reads, "This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." I want you to picture for a moment a man on a raft, floating downstream on a warm summer day. He's having the time of his life. He's enjoying the ride as the cool water gently splashes upon him. He's got a cold drink in one hand. He has his radio to the side, and he's enjoying himself floating downstream. And you are on the shore, and you know that not too far ahead that there is a crushing waterfall. This man is floating blissfully but ignorantly downstream towards a certain destruction. And you shout to warn him, and you throw him a rope, but he rejects it. Floating ever onward towards a certain death. And you're left wondering to yourself, why won't he listen? Why won't he grab this rope that I throw that will preserve his life? Well, the reason is simple. He is enjoying himself and the things that he is doing, and he doesn't believe your warnings. And so he floats onward towards a certain death. Sometimes as Christians we are left to consider or to think, why do people reject God's wonderful offer of salvation through Jesus Christ? You would think that men, when they hear that wonderful verse 16 of how God so loving the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Why could anyone reject such a wonderful offer? Why would people continue heading downstream towards an eternal destruction? And the answer is given to us in verse 19. This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. They're too busy enjoying their sin, and they don't believe the warnings of judgment to come. In general, men do not want God interfering with what they consider to be a good time. They don't want to believe the warnings of Scripture that tell them again and again that they are under the condemnation of God, and that eternally that they will be separated from it. They're under the false notion that people are basically good and that God will overlook their faults and will one day credit them for the good deeds that they've done on Judgment Day. And so they refuse to repent of their sin. They refuse to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. It's easy to forgive a little child that's afraid of the dark. The real tragedy, as we see in verse 19, is when men are afraid of the light. Now the writer John makes some very interesting points to us. He tells us of the light that has come into this world in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by his coming into the world, he has condemned those that are in darkness. This is the condemnation. That light is come into the world. John has already introduced us to the light back in chapter 1. The verses 4 and 5. We read concerning the Lord Jesus Christ that in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. A little later, in John chapter 8, the Lord Jesus will stand before the people and say, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Here is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, but men love darkness. In the Bible, the symbol of light is used in two main ways. It firstly speaks to us of God's absolute holiness. We read in 1 Timothy 6 and 16, of God who dwells in the light which no man can approach unto. The Apostle John writes in 1 John 1 and 5, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. This light of God that represents his holiness is then extended to the people of God. Those who are born again. Darkness speaks of our natural condition. Paul writes to the Corinthians, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Not only is God light, but he shines his light and exposes the sins of men, and his truth. His truth is a light that brings us to himself. In a sense, God's word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. It's spiritual light that enables us to understand God's truth. What God would have us to know, how we might live for his glory. This light of God that shines upon us, this truth of God is embodied in Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God who took human flesh. Or as John put it, the true light which lighteth every man. When the Lord Jesus came into this world, his very presence exposed to the world who God is, his holiness, but it also exposes the fact that we are not holy. We are in darkness. And the light of the gospel that shines upon men, it divides us into two categories. Those who hate the light and those that respond to it by faith. Those who hate the light do so because they are afraid that their deeds will be exposed. Those who respond to the light of God's revelation are those of whom we read in verse 21 that are wrought in God, are born of God. So when John says that this is the condemnation, in other words, this is what condemns us in the sight of God, men choose darkness rather than light. They refuse to be shaken out of their sinfulness. Now, verses 17 and 18 tell us that the purpose of our Savior's coming into this world was not for judgment. God sent His Son, sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. The Lord Jesus did not come the first time for the purpose of judgment, but yet by His very presence and the light of His life and the gospel that He preached, that He made sinful men uncomfortable. One of the early encounters that He had with Simon Peter, where He caused that miraculous catch of fish, Simon Peter fell down at the Savior's feet and said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." The light of Christ exposed the sinfulness of his heart. Have you ever had that experience with Jesus Christ? That you've seen who He is and you've instantly recognized He is holy and I am not. He is light, but I am darkness. When you've had that kind of experience, there's only one of two ways that you can go. You can respond like those in our text, those who love darkness rather than light. What lessons there are concerning the nature of our sin? That it goes far deeper than our actions and our words. It's a matter of our affections, our desires. Men loved darkness. There's no cool, rational thought here. There's no weighing up of all of the factors involved and deciding, yes, sin is my best choice. There's no rational thought. It's a desire of the heart. It's the desire of a nature that's bent towards sin. Men love darkness. It's in us. It's our nature. And the problem goes far deeper than we ever imagined. The Bible does not teach that we are basically good people, that we just have one or two flaws that we need to overcome. It's not merely a matter of education or learning some anger management skills or building on our relationship skills. We don't need to go to therapy to delve into our childhood to consider why we do the things we do. We don't need those things. They're all far too superficial from a biblical standpoint. The Bible shows us that the root of our problem is our love of sin. We love sin rather than God and His holiness. It's a matter of the heart. Or as one preacher said, the heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. And the only remedy that goes deep enough is the new birth. Turning over a new leaf, working through therapy. Those things can change the outward appearance, but never change the heart. The reason that people reject the Lord Jesus Christ, it's primarily not an intellectual decision, but a moral one. Unbelievers do not love darkness rather than light because they've thought it through and concluded that darkness makes more sense. They love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil.
And the light exposes the sinfulness of the heart. It convicts them of their moral guilt before a holy God. And like the person lying in the darkened room when the light is switched on, their first reaction is to pull the blankets over their head to hide them from the light. To remain in the darkness. Aldous Huxley was a famous atheist of a generation or two ago. And he admitted that his rejection of Christianity stemmed from his desire to sin. Listen to what he said. I had motives for not wanting the world to have meaning. Therefore, consequently, I assumed that it had not, and then was able without any difficulty to find satisfying reasons for this assumption. For myself, the philosophy of meaningless was essentially an instrument of liberation, sexual and political. In other words, he said, when I came to the decision that I wasn't going to believe that this world had meaning, that there was a God who overruled it, once I managed to get those thoughts out of my head, I was able to do as I pleased. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. They reject God because they love their sin. Now that means, believer, that when you go to share the gospel, that you don't have to be intimidated simply because someone has a PhD and argues in favour of evolution, or is able to cite arguments from the latest popular atheist. You don't have to panic if someone says, I don't believe the Bible because of its contradictions. But you see, you can give philosophical reasons and arguments for the existence of God. And you can give scientific arguments against evolution all day long. And even if you were able to convince that person intellectually, you haven't dealt with the root of the problem, his heart. His real reason is that he loves sin. And he stands guilty in the sight of a holy God. Now don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that we shouldn't have good answers to intellectual questions. I'm saying merely that that is not usually the real issue. And the person who brings those objections to you, you say to them before you start now, before I give you my answers, if I am able to give you reasonable answers to all of your objections, will you then believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and trust in Him for your soul's salvation? If I am able to give you reasonable answers to these questions, you know what they'll probably say? Well, I've got other objections too. You see, the objections are smoke screens to hide behind. The real reason is not their intellectual objections, but the problem of their heart. They don't want to believe in God because they love their sin. Their deeds are evil. That speaks of each and every one of us. When we think of evil, we think of terrorists and drug dealers and murderers and pedophiles, people of that nature. But listen, God says that our sins are evil in His sight. Yes, God restrains us. And He holds us back from sin because we are afraid of what others might think. But listen, there is that nature of sin within us. The possibility of each and every one of us committing the most heinous sins in the sight of God. And we might be able to put a veneer on our life and appear to be good and moral and upright people, but listen, God sees our heart. Hebrews 4:13 says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight. But all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. God looks on our hearts. And even the very best of people, humanly speaking, are filled with pride and selfishness and greed and lust. and the other sins that perhaps don't make it out into the public arena. But the heart is corrupt. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. We need a redemption that deals with the heart. So why won't they come to the Lord Jesus Christ? Because they love darkness rather than light. Because their deeds are evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. John is saying that not only do unbelievers love their sin, but they hate the Savior. They hate the one who out of love offered himself upon the cross that sinners might not perish. They look upon the Lord Jesus Christ and they refuse him and they reject him because he exposes their evil deeds. I read the story of a teacher in her classroom. And they were working on a subject. The teacher would write some sentences upon the board at the front, and then the pupils were to join the sentences together and find a topic or a heading for the sentences. A topic sentence, it was called. And the teacher wrote the following expressions upon the board. Sam always works quietly. Sam is polite to the teacher. Sam always does his homework on time. And the students were asked to find a topic sentence that covered all three. One student handed in his work, Why We Hate Sam. Because he works quietly. Because he's polite to the teacher. Because he does his homework. Why We Hate Sam. Why do men hate God? Because it exposes their sinfulness. Now many are held back from their sin for fear of being seen. But allow them the opportunity to travel far from home where they think they are safe from prying eyes and those that know them. They'll yield to their sin. We live in a day when people call good evil and evil good. When it's cool to flaunt your sin. Movie stars and celebrities go on television to boast about their immoral behavior. We see gay pride celebrations that boast in what God condemns as evil. Of their sin. Because they hate the Lord. And they refuse them and they reject them and they wallow in their sin without realizing that it will bring them to ultimate judgment. John gives us the reason why those that are unsaved hate the Lord Jesus Christ. He exposes their sins. In my last church, I had the occasion to meet an elderly gentleman and we were talking. He was busy standing, smoking a cigarette, and he was, well, obscenities were simply flowing from his tongue. He eventually got round to asking what I did for a living. I told him I was a minister in the local church nearby. And he got all agitated and he threw down his cigarette and he stamped it out. And he says, Look at me. Cursing and smoking in front of the reverend. And to him it was an awful sin to curse and smoke in front of the minister. And yet it never occurred to him that he cursed and smoked in front of God every day. Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light lest his deeds should be reproved. That word reproved means convicted. John uses it again, chapter 16, of the Holy Spirit, who will reprove the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. The guilty criminal hates the judge who convicts them of their crime, even though it's not the judge's fault. The judge hasn't perpetrated the wickedness, but he convicts those who have. Men hate Christ because he will convict them of their sin.
Verse 21, however, says, "He that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." There are two reactions to the light of the gospel that shines upon men. There is the rejection of the light, and the rejection of Christ that comes with it, or there is the coming to the light. There's a coming to the light. Now, John is not suggesting that there are men that have a natural bent towards truth or towards salvation. He has made it very plain in the opening 16 verses that salvation comes to us through believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. John is describing two types of people in this world: those who have not believed in Christ, who avoid the light and hate it because it exposes their sinful deeds, and those who have believed in Christ, who gladly come to him and are willing to give him all of the credit for the salvation that they have received. They are wrought in God. He that doeth truth. That's probably an Eastern expression that means to act faithfully or honorably towards God. But it tells us something, you know, believer, that the truth is to be lived, not just to be spoken. He doeth truth. John uses this word truth 25 times in his gospel, 20 more times in his epistles. And truth for John is embodied in Jesus Christ. He alone could say, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." He that doeth truth is one who has come to Christ. Our Savior said to Pilate, "To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." Now that has two implications. Firstly, there is such a thing as absolute truth. There is absolute truth in the spiritual and in the moral realms, and you will be able to identify believers by their obedience to that truth. Contrary to the postmodern mindset, truth is not relative. Truth is not dependent upon your culture or your situation or your company. Truth is black or white. The truth is in Jesus Christ, and he declared that God's word is truth. This means that those that are trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ are those who are committed to the truth. We seek to understand the truth and to live it. We hold the truth of God even when our culture goes against it. Believers therefore willingly and gladly and repeatedly come to the light of God's word in order to grow in holiness. And God receives the glory for the work that's been done in their heart. They are wrought in God. That's why as believers we encourage you to read God's word over and over, allowing it to shine into the dark corners of your heart, to expose your sinful thoughts and intentions. The word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The light shines in, and as it exposes our sins, we confess them to Christ. And as we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. False believers avoid the word of God. They don't read it for themselves.
And they find churches that don't preach the word because they don't want their sins exposed. They want to keep up a good front to impress other people. But they don't want the light of God shining in their heart. Bishop Jesse Ryle pointed out that eventually those that reject the light in this world will get what they desired. They love darkness. They hated the light. The Bible tells us that at the judgment of God that they shall be cast into outer darkness. They hated the light and they will be shut off from it for all eternity. And God will be perfectly just in condemning those that rejected Christ. They saw the light, they hated it, they turned away from it because they loved their sin. The alternative, my friend, is to obey the call of God, to come to the light, to find forgiveness in Christ, to have hope in God, to have heaven as an eternity awaiting for you. Why not come to the Lord Jesus Christ while He yet calls and gain that eternal life and magnify the grace of God rather than His judgment? It's my prayer this morning that we will all, each and every one of us, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and rejoice in His light and magnify His grace. Or will this be your condemnation, that light has come into the world, but you love darkness rather than light because your deeds are evil? Come to the light while there is yet time. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the saving of your soul, and enjoy His blessing and grace for all eternity.